I had been considering this topic for some time. Someone had made a suggestion about it, and I had been considering it for a considerable period of time. But yesterday, when I was looking at Facebook early in the morning, Sarah Beth had posted something, and then later that morning, Carol Wells had posted something that convinced me that today was the day to do this. To talk about modesty. The thing that they posted was an article that was entitled, Have We Stopped Protecting Our Daughters? And there was a picture of two little girls in cheerleading outfits, two-piece cheerleading outfits, very small, with fancy hair and all kinds of makeup. And when I say little girls, I'm talking about, I would suspect that they were maybe 7 or 8 years old, maybe that old. If you have the opportunity, read that article. If you're unaware of what's going on in our society, you need to read that article. Galatians 6 and verses 7 through 9 come to my mind. It says, "Do not be deceived. God is not mocked, for whatever a man sows, this he will also reap. For the one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption, and one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. Let us not lose heart in doing good, for in due time we will reap if we do not grow weary." And then in Proverbs 31 and in verse 30, Solomon, or we read this in particular in verse 30 of Psalm 31, or Proverbs 31, "Charm is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised." Now, I mentioned the topic modesty, and I have no doubt that many could possibly be saying to themselves, well, he's going to tell us what we can wear and what we can't wear. And it's really not about whether I'm right or wrong. It absolutely is not about whether I'm right or wrong. It is about what God says is right. In Romans, the 3rd chapter, in Romans 3 and in verse 4, Paul writes, "May it never be, rather let God be found true, though every man be found a liar, as it is written, that you may be justified in your words and prevail when you are judged." In that article, there was also a picture of Patsy Ramsey holding John Bonet Ramsey. And you remember that story? Little girl who was made up to be a beauty queen because her mother was a beauty queen. And the child died. And I don't know that they've ever found out who really did it. You see, dress reflects an attitude of heart. In other words, people evaluate us by the type of clothing we wear. For instance, in Proverbs 7 and in verse 10, we read of a woman that is dressed as a harlot. Now, what does that mean? Apparently, this woman was dressed in such a way that any man, and I think even any woman, would know what her true intentions were. In fact, when my friends were here and we picked them up at the train station, as we were leaving, there was a woman talking with a man, and it was obvious she was a prostitute because of her attire and the time of night it was. This is true even today. In many cities, there are women that are dressed in revealing, seductive way to capture the attention of men. Should a Christian woman be dressed in a similar fashion? In contrast, in 1 Timothy 2 and then in verse 9, we can read how women are to adorn themselves with proper clothing modestly and discreetly. And some have mistaken this to include that women are to dress in a 19th century manner. That's just ridiculous. In fact, it's ludicrous. With the numerous types of clothing styles that are available today, I don't believe that any woman should have much trouble finding fashions and dress that would be modest. To help us better understand that what biblical modesty is, I want us to take a look at a few terms that are used in regard to this topic. I believe the key passage is 1 Timothy 2 and verses 9 and 10, at least one of the key passages to this subject. Paul wrote, after demanding that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. In verse 9, he goes on and says, "In like manner also, that women adorn themselves in modest apparel with shamefacedness and sobriety, not with braided hair or gold or pearls or costly array, but which becometh women professing godliness with good works." I believe, friends, that our answer to modesty, to the question about modesty, is found in this verse. It reveals to us the fact that God regulates our dress. It reveals to us both things we must do and things that we are not to do as godly people. It reveals that women need apparel. Further, it reveals this adorning apparel is to be modest. Those who are concerned about what this passage demands of us can easily see that God is concerned with our dress. But some, on the other hand, want to find what the limit is and then take one step back so they don't cross the line. And let me suggest to you that being a Christian on any subject is not about the line. I remember a story about someone, a school corporation in Kentucky looking for a new bus driver. I read this really a long time ago, but it sticks very well into my mind. And they interviewed several individuals for the position. And as they were interviewing, they were asking questions like, well, how close to the edge of a mountain road can you drive without going over? And you know, they had some would say, well, I can drive within a foot, or I could drive within 6 inches, or maybe I can drive within 3 inches. But they had one individual who, when interviewed and answering that question, said, I'm going to stay as far away from that edge as I possibly can. You see, that's the answer. As a godly individual, if there is a line, and I really don't think there is, I'm going to stay away from it as far as I can, not get as close as I can. You see, I believe living a Christian and godly life is about going in a direction away from sin. I believe that was in part of one of the songs we just sang this morning, wasn't it? That's the kind of individual I need to be, and that ought to be the attitude. And please don't misunderstand, ladies. Modesty does not just apply to you. It applies to every Christian, man or woman. That's important to keep in mind. And so now, let's look at some of the terms that are used here. We really need to define these terms. And then we should be able to draw some conclusions. The word modest just means sensible, suitable, orderly, well-arranged, decent, and seemly clothing. When clothes ceases to be decent, it ceases to be modest. This does not mean that custom does not have anything to do with modesty. For custom was raised, or in fact, custom has raised the hemline from the top of the shoe to the knee, and even beyond that. If a woman dressed in the style of a godly woman of 1932, she would be immodest today, calling attention to herself by her dress. The key word here is shamefacedness or shamefacedness, the American Standard Version says. Shamefacedness is what the King James uses. The New American Standard uses modesty. The New King James uses propriety. And I think about a person who is bedfast. A person who is bedfast cannot get out of bed. A person who is shamefaced or shamefast does not leave their house in a way that will bring shame to themselves or to their family. In fact, W.E. Vine gives the following as a definition of this word. A sense of shame, modesty. It is used regarding the demeanor of women in the church. Shamefacedness is that modesty which is fast. It's rooted in the character, the person you are. Trent says that the word also would restrain a good man from an unworthy act. And he even goes on to say that a synonym of the word would sometimes restrain a bad man. The word was to show we ought to be restrained in our dress. And so, think about this. When a bathing suit is worn in a public place, how many pieces may be removed? How close to the line is even a one-piece bathing suit? Is it suitable for a woman professing godliness to be attired in such? Another word here in this passage is sobriety. The New American Standard uses the word discreetly. New King James Version uses moderation. The term means soundness of mind, self-control. Self-control or the inner government of the person, with a constant rein on all passions and desires, which would hinder the temptation of these from arising. The person who would seek to always please God will dress in such a way as to not arouse sinful passions in others with whom they come in contact. In fact, I've even had ladies tell me, well, I can dress however I want to, and if some man lusts after me, well, that's his problem. No, I'm sorry, that's not the case. It is your problem. Now, yes, there are certainly men, and I know some of them, who it wouldn't matter if you were wearing a burqa, they would lust. That's the kind of character they are. But you do have a place, you do have a part in this. If a Christian cares what God thinks, they will not dress in brief attire, which is so common or popular today. If the skimpy and skin-tight or tighter clothing is modest according to God's standard, then the only thing which is immodest would be a total nudity, wouldn't it? Yeah, I believe so. Because some of the attire that my eyes have had the displeasure of seeing revealed way more than I wanted to know anything about. God also uses another term to describe the situation in Galatians 5 and verses 19 through 21, where we have a list of things that God condemns, and it's also found in 2 Corinthians 12 and verse 21. And the term is lasciviousness. And we don't use that term very often anymore. But the New American Standard translates it sensuality. The New King James Version translates it lewdness. The absent of restraint, indecency, shameless conduct. In Galatians 5 and verse 19, Paul condemns lasciviousness as a work of the flesh. In verse 21, he wrote, "They which do such things shall not," let me emphasize that, "shall not inherit the kingdom of God." Lasciviousness is a term, as I said, that we do not, not generally familiar with in today's world. Just what is this thing that is called lasciviousness? Webster defines it as wanton, lewd, lustful, tending to produce lewd emotions. Pornography falls into that category. Something as lascivious is lascivious if it tends to excite or to stir up lustful thoughts in other people. Words, actions, or the way one dresses could all be classified as lascivious. When one dresses in such a manner or undresses, they share in the guilt involved when others look to lust after them. Matthew 5, verse 28. I remember a couple fellows I worked with in Illinois. They were constantly looking at ladies and making comments, and I made a few comments to them about those things, and they said, "Well, we're men." In fact, I just had a fellow make that very comment. "Well, we're men. We're going to look." Let me say it right at this point. I can look at a woman and I can recognize she's a beautiful woman and I can appreciate her beauty. But in the next second, I better stop because I'm going to go farther than I need to go. Yes, we are men. But Jesus and the Father and the Holy Spirit have put a limitation on that. In Matthew 5 and verse 28, Jesus says, "But I say to you that whoever looks at a woman to lust after her or for her has already committed adultery with her in his heart." Now what's he saying? He's saying if you have the desire to commit adultery or to be with this woman, you would do it if you had the opportunity and nobody find out. Now, the gentleman that I just heard make that comment about men and himself said, "Well, I stop and I'm not going to fulfill my desire." But if you knew you could get away with it, if you knew nobody would find out, if you had the opportunity, you see, that's where it's going. And that's what Jesus is talking about. Don't go there. And that's kind of the difference between looking 2 seconds and looking 3 seconds. Isn't it? It absolutely is. Don't look too long. It will go too far. Now, as I said, some men will lust no matter what kind of clothing a woman may be wearing. However, a woman who has the desire to serve God will always carefully be careful never to share in that sin. She will not dress in such a manner as to invite or to encourage the look of lust. These terms give us a good idea of what attitude a Christian should have in regard to his or her dress. Unfortunately, some Christians just intend on doing what they want to do. They care less about what the Scripture says about the matter. And however, I admit that we need to probe a little farther in order to have a more specific understanding of what God's view is on this topic. Let's look at some of the things that will give us some insight into what God approves. I think there are a few Scripture references that we can examine which will give us some insight on what God's thinks the type of clothing we should be wearing would be. Genesis 3 comes to my mind, first of all. We read there the account of Adam and Eve's fall. When their eyes had been opened by partaking of the forbidden fruit, they became aware of their nakedness, and they did what? They sewed together fig leaves to make a covering for themselves. Now, the Hebrew word that is used here in connection with what they did refers to a garment that is worn around the midsection. I guess you would call it something similar to a swimsuit. Later in that chapter, we read of God making clothing for Adam and Eve, and the Hebrew word there is a different Hebrew word. And it is referring to a garment such as a tunic, which commonly reached from the shoulders to the knee, or maybe a little below the knee. Why? Why did God make this clothing for Adam and Eve? I think there's only one answer to that question. It's because what they had made for themselves was unacceptable. And God was giving them an acceptable of what was approved of by Him. In Exodus 28, in verses 42 and 43, God gives specific instructions regarding the official dress of the priests. He stipulates that He wants their nakedness to be covered. The clothing He specified went to the knee. To me, that seems to be a pattern. In fact, you remember that these priests were not to go up. In fact, they were even to wear linen breeches, so that their nakedness would not be exposed upon the steps of the altar going up to sacrifice. That seems to be a pattern, don't you think? God wants His people to be covered at least that much. He stipulated that He wanted their nakedness covered. The clothing He specified went to the knee. To me, that seems to be a pattern. One argument I've heard over the years is, since everyone else in society is dressing in an immodest fashion, no one notices. Come on, please. I've worked with enough guys in my lifetime to know better than that. And I'm a man, and I know better than that. I'm horrified. I can't go anywhere. I cannot go any place in public and not get my eyes filled with things I don't want them to see. And I have to make, as Job did, a covenant with my eyes that I will not lust. And I'll tell you what, there are times when that is a difficult covenant to keep with myself. Even if this argument was true, it still wouldn't make it right. God indicated that He wants His people to dress in a modest fashion. He wants them to dress in an appropriate way. Why? I believe there are some very good reasons for dressing modestly. If this argument were true, no one notices short shorts, swimming suits. Then why do advertisers still use consistently scantily clothed individuals, men and women, to sell their products? It's because it gets people's attention. And it works. Whether it's television, magazine, or billboard, seductively dressed individuals will captivate the attention of millions of individuals. What do you think these millions of men and women are thinking when they see the advertisement ads? I know what they're not thinking. I know they're not thinking that there is a fine, upstanding, godly woman. The same is true when women appear in public in scampy clothing. How can Christian men and women possibly be good influence when dressing in such a way? Unfortunately, many Christians are just kidding themselves. They just refuse to face the facts. This refusal will result in the loss of many souls. God's rules for modesty did not change, and they do not change with geography or the weather. And I've been amazed. I tell you, I've just simply been amazed. Living in Nebraska, it gets downright cold up here. It does. Now, I've lived in southern Illinois almost all of my life, and it gets cold there. It gets pretty frigid. But I have been overly amazed up here. Because I know it's definitely cold in Nebraska in the wintertime. But you let that temperature just creep up a little bit, and I guarantee you I'm going to see a woman in shorts and some men. And not to the knee. You see, modesty in Canada is also the modesty in Key West. Likewise, what is modest in January is still modest in July. And the truth of the matter is when I think about people in the eastern part of the world, they wear stuff that cover them from the head of the top of their head to the bottom of their feet, practically, most of the time. And they live in some pretty hot climates. Now, I spent about a year and a half in 29 Palms, California. In the Marine Corps. And I can remember standing in formation, especially one in particular time, and I have polished and polished on my shoes so that they've got that glistening shine. And in a half an hour after being out in formation and early in the morning, they need to be polished again because the polish had all run off on the ground. It was hot in California. It was hot. And taking off clothes didn't make it any better. It doesn't do that in the eastern part of the world either. It's about our attitude about what's right, what's modest. You see, weather or location or activity does not justify or excuse one dressing in immodest clothing. The Word of God is not just written to women about immodesty. God did not apply a double standard. Certainly men as well as women are capable of dressing in an immodest way and causing others to lust. Neither man or woman should wear that which is designed to create lust. All of us as Christians are commanded by Peter in 1 Peter 2 and verse 11, abstain from fleshly lusts which wage war against the soul. As parents, see, this is the thing that I just really, really have a hard time with. I have two daughters. And I would not, I dare not want others to lust after them. We hold the responsibility of bringing up our children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, Ephesians 6. Fathers need to exercise their duty to teach and encourage their children to dress always in an appropriate manner. Fathers, how can you let your daughters or your sons go out into public in an immodest way? I just saw the other, just yesterday in Walmart when I went in to pick up some pills. A father with his daughter and... Oh, shame on him. Mothers as well should set a proper example for their daughters and never give an immodest or give in to immodest attire. Too many mothers and fathers contribute to the immodesty of by their own example. And it may seem easier to go with it or to allow our children to do whatever everyone else is doing. Yet, one day we are going to face God in judgment. And we're going to give an account of what we have taught our children. You know, one of the wonderful things, this is not something that Darlene and I did when we were bringing up our children. But one of the things I've seen, particularly in my daughters, because I was living close to them most of the time and my sons were all farther away, was my granddaughters have had Barbie dolls. But one of the things my daughters did with my granddaughters was, if Barbie wasn't dressed, and if she wasn't dressed appropriately, she couldn't get out of the car, she couldn't leave the house. I think that's a brilliant idea. I wish I'd have thought of it. I'd be commending it. Well, I am commending it everywhere. That's the way to teach your children about modesty, what's modest and what's not. They grasp it at a young age, and they... I talked with my son last night when he told me about what's going on. And one of the things he told me was that his wife had been to a congregation in a dress apparently that was shorter than what her daughter thought was appropriate. And her daughter told her, "Mom, isn't that immodest?" That's pretty bad when our children have to tell us what's modest and what's not. I've got next to my youngest granddaughter. When she was smaller than she is now, she made no bones about telling people and pointing out that they were immodest. My youngest daughter would be in town at Walmart or wherever, grocery shopping or doing whatever, and her daughter would say, "That man's immodest. He's not wearing a shirt." She'd tell Grandpa when he got out of bed, "Grandpa, you're immodest. You don't have a shirt on." "Yes, I know. I was sleeping. But I'll take care of it now. I'll be sure and take care of it. From now on, when you come to my house, Grandpa will sleep with his shirt on too." Yeah, out of the mouth of babes. We all need to wake up and to see where we are headed morally and spiritually. We need to heed the careful admonition of the Lord to abstain from all appearances of evil. 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 22. Let's just get a little bit specific. A discussion is valueless if we don't make some practical applications of it. In other words, what type of clothing would be modest or immodest under the guidelines of the Bible? And you know what? That's where usually the trouble begins. Many people in the church want to keep discussions like this very general and let people draw their own conclusions. Unfortunately, some just don't have the ability to make very good, objective, sound conclusions for some reason or other. The wrong type of dress for women professing godliness is shown to be that which exposes. A short list of items which exposes is the miniskirt, hot pants, tight-fitting dresses or pants that are too tight. The new fad is yoga pants. They are so tight that you can see the muscle flex in the pants. There is nothing. They could be nude and you would still see everything with the pants on. That's what they are. And this is a very popular thing. And let me suggest to you, we're going to start a study in the book of Judges tomorrow night out at Ginger's apartment complex. It would be well for all of us to read the book of Judges. Because two times in that book, God makes this assessment of the nation that He has chosen for His own possession. They did what was right in their own eyes. Everyone did what was right in their own eyes. the end of Joshua and that generation, a new generation came up that really didn't know God. And let me suggest to you that we live in a country that has transversed to that position, to a generation that does not know God and does not want to regard God in their mind. In fact, went to the prison in Robinson several times, studying with several different inmates there. And one of the interesting things is that the state of Illinois has a code of dress for anyone coming to visit in that correctional facility or any correctional facility. Some of those criteria are: shorts must be knee length, no tank tops, no short dresses, no sundresses, no shirts with obscene language or pictures, no see-through clothing. And I've got a couple of articles where other men, preachers, have been to other prison facilities and found the same kind of information. Now, why would that be the case? I don't believe I have to draw a picture, do I? It's because individuals are going to lust. They're going to desire that which they see. And we need to remember that about. We need to remember that. What we wear is going to influence other people. Prisons have banned those kind of things because there's a reason. Men will lust. Men have a greater tendency to lust than women. But we need to remember everybody does. Is your life what God would have it to be? Do you dress in a way that God is pleased with? You know, most of the time when I see you, I would consider what you wear is to be acceptable. I have very seldom seen any of you anywhere else but here at services. Now, a few times other places, but very seldom. And so I don't know. I can't draw any conclusions from that because I've not seen. But you can. You know. And God knows. And if your life's not right with Him, you have an opportunity to change that. God desires that all come to repentance. He desires that everybody change their life to be in accord with His will. And we would encourage you to do that very thing. Maybe you need to be baptized this morning. Maybe you're not a child of God. And you need to be forgiven of your sins. God wants you to be forgiven of your sins. He's provided the opportunity for you. And if you will, come. If you are not living faithfully to Him, God desires that you be faithful. He wants you to repent and to come back. Won't you come as we stand and sing?